Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty and Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. It's time for From the Archives. Jared, let's
what
go back.
What have we got tonight?
July 25, 2016, and you...
2016, the year of the dogs.
...said this.
Let's continue the Bulldog discussion because they were delivered a hammer blow on the weekend. Morris, to me, is the one most difficult to replace, but when you lose quality people, then you need others to step up.
It's going to test their depth and the emotional out of the game, the emotional side of losing Wallace and Redpath. But I want to ask you, Tom Boyd now, you'd think he'll play for the rest of the year. But what do you want to see from him? You don't expect him to kick fours and fives.
No, you just want competition. You just want competitive
effort. And did he compete enough, you think, on the weekend?
He wasn't too bad, but I think at the moment he's working with four cylinders and he needs to find another two. If I was Tom Boyd, I would go and buy myself 10 pair of runners, set a date, go and knock on Luke Dalhouse's number and say, Luke, I'm going to shift in with you. Two weeks after we finish, I have got to get fitter and give myself the very best chance I can to fulfil the promise that God-given talents have presented to him. He's not fit enough. He's got a tank that needs big, big improvement. And if he does do that, then he can play that forward ruck role that will give him a chance to be a success.
They scored 60 points again on the weekend. So that's the thing that I keep banging on about. I don't think you can win the grand final when you've got a forward line. I don't think their forward line I can see standing up on the dais.
I think they've got a really strong spirit at their club. I wouldn't be surprised if they came out and beat Geelong on the weekend. They have got an enormous belief in themselves. If I was a Bulldog supporter, I'd be taking the long view on all of this. And if they keep doing everything right that they've done in the last year or so, last 2 years, the moons will eventually align.
So you also believe they can't win it from 7th or 8th?
Anybody can beat it, win it from 7th or 8th. They may not finish 7th or 8th. Even if they don't win it this year, I wouldn't be devastated. I mean, to me, when Beveridge took over, he's taking a 3- or 4-year plan. And if they get a couple of recruits right and they get Murphy back and these other two boys will be back the second half of next year.
Bonampelli's not going to get any worse.
There's a lot of blokes who have got inbuilt improvement.
Jeez, how prophetic so much of that ended up being that the moons were going to align.
I got a little bit wrong.
Well, no one thought that it was going to be the year of the dogs then, and no one, Jared, thought that they could win it from 7th. So that reflected a lot of people's opinions at the time, but you did speak about the energy and the attitude of that group, and it really brought them together. But how do you think those comments, and not the comments, but how do you think that conversation aged with Tom Boyd? Because I love the car analogy of the four cylinders needing to find more. Ultimately, he was a big part of that premiership win and the moments in the grand final. But did he ever find those extra cylinders
physically? I don't think he did. I think he got fitter through that period of time and finished off strongly.
Yep.
But the moon's aligned for him on grand final day. The moon's aligned for the dogs on grand final day. And that energy and that incredible run of four finals victories in a row after getting absolutely hammered by Fremantle in round 23, including a couple of injuries. I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, everything aligned. They had the weekend off, etc. But they still had to get the job done. And, you know, just going back to Sydney, where they knocked off the Giants after being a couple of goals down with only a couple of minutes of play remaining. I mean, it was just fantastic. As far as Tom Boyd is concerned, you know, to me, he never really got 100% fit. I'm talking rock hard fit, that somebody who could go with Steph Martin,
Brody Grundy,
yep. You know, a Jim Steins type of body and Jim Steins used to, you know, do 20Ks up in the Dandenongs to get himself fit. I'm not sure that Boyd ever explored that. But take nothing away from him. He achieved what he set out to do, I'm sure, and that is become a premiership player, and that's what he did. And as far as the dogs are concerned, well, they're still barking.
Oh, they certainly are. I remember, Jared, you calling for Boyd to play in the ruck before he started doing it. Do you think he ever looked like a ruckman? He always seemed like an uncomfortable ruckman for me that ultimately wanted to be a forward, like a power forward.
Most people don't like playing in the ruck, and why would you? I mean, it is a shocking position when it's all said and done, but Boyd actually, you know, I think in time he would have pushed himself up potentially to be an All-Australian squad ruckman for that position.
Yep.
I mean, when he can go forward and kick goals, and I don't think he actually, you know, I think he would have become more comfortable in the forward line. The more fit you are, it's just amazing how many layers of improvement you can put together when you get yourself 100% fit. And We see it each and every year, Scoop. Each and every year, and this year will be no different. You get players who go from B-grade fitness to A-grade fitness, and you end up having a different player. It's incredible. You think it's simple and people think they're fit, but you actually never know how unfit you were until you become super fit.
And then there are those players, Jared, I always find this one the hardest to watch, that get super fit and they're probably in the top 5 or 10% at the club for fitness, and for some reason they just can't seem to find that consistency of form to have them play well at the highest level consistently.
Well, ultimately that just means they're not good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason they're on a list is because they're super fit. They've got limited talent, but they're there, and they're frustrating because they haven't got that, you know, they haven't got the A-grade DNA makeup through the years that allows them to find the footy and utilise their fitness. But when you see guys that have got that incredible football brain and yet they haven't got the motor to use that, they're the frustrating ones. The other guys are just bloody hard workers. They're the ones you've got to be admiring of. But it's the other players who aren't getting the best out of themselves because they're not super fit. They're the frustrating ones, and they're also the exciting ones because there's so much upside.
I wonder who would be over the years in the conversation for the ones that started off super talented and unfit and ultimately turned their career around because of their fitness. Like, would it be a Sam Mitchell?
I wouldn't have thought Sam Mitchell.
Job Watson?
Job was a classic example. I actually think most players are in that category because as an 18-year-old, you think you, well, certainly a decade or more ago, you used to turn up thinking you were fit, but you're only just playing under 18 footy.
Yep.
Now they're in much more professional development programs and this notion of fitness is much more highly developed. You've got high performance managers that get people to levels that, you know, other people wouldn't even recognise 25 years ago before they start. But there is still the odd one who slips through the cracks and, you know, even some terrific players that I've worked with, like a Nathan Jones. Nathan Jones went up a huge cog in his output, and he was a fit player beforehand. But there are levels of being fit, and it's at that top end and that extreme level that players can go from being good players to great players and average players to good players.
This has been Sports Day for Wilson Homes. Chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle. Jared, when I go home, I'm going to go watch some highlights packages of Chelsea in the English Premier League in the mid-2000s who weren't playing attractive football but kept winning. I wonder if they kept in the
boring
big
stuff, though. I was interested in your thoughts on who are the most unattractive sides at the present time.
But ultimately, if Which you're winning, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. You think Carlton are playing unattractive footy because
they're losing.
Because they keep on losing. And that therein lies the definition of what's good-looking football for most. It's when you walk home and you've got the 4 points.
It's coming up to the 8 o'clock news. Jared and I will see you tomorrow from 6.